Very good morning to each and every one of you who are joining us in this worship service. We thank God for another opportunity that God has given to us that we can gather together to worship Him through songs and also to listen to His Word. Today we want to spend our time looking at a man of God and to learn lessons from him. This man of God was an influential figure in the early development of Christianity. I trust many of us on numerous occasions have read his writings, which form a key section of the New Testament canon. This great man is the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul's instructive letters that he wrote many years ago are still important for us, which helps in the way we draw our doctrine. In particular, Paul emphasized the role that salvation is based on faith and not on religious customs. At every quarters, you'll see that he is seen defending the Christian faith. When you go to a library, you're bound to come across his books or the books that was written about him and his teachings. Paul, whose name is Saul, and Saul is the Hebrew name because of his Hebrew heritage, he came from the tribe of Benjamin. He later was known with his Roman name as Paul, so that he would be able to connect with the Gentile world. God was using him in the Gentile world. Today, let's journey together by drawing lessons about this man's transformation. The encounter that he had with the Lord Jesus Christ that made a lasting, not only an impression, but he was able to be a shining example to many Christians. I've entitled today's sermon as The Turning Point, Saul Meets Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, God, as we spend some time looking at your word, we pray that we will allow your spirit to work in our lives, Father. Help us, Lord, and even encounter us. We want to live for you. We want to live to fulfill your plans and your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, have you ever accidentally put your finger into a live electric wire or electric socket? I'm not saying that, you know, you should try that experiment, because definitely it will give you a physical shock. Remember the days when I was in school, you know, when we were learning about electricity, you were asked to touch live electrical socket, but with a low voltage. You know, when we go through our Christian life too, similarly, when we have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, there is an internal experience that happens in our life. There is an impact that happens in our life. And so encountering God is an important part of life for Christians. The person that we are looking today was the persecutor of the Christians. But then, because of the transforming love of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his encounter with Jesus, he became a proclaimer of the Lord Jesus Christ. The passage that we see in Acts chapter 9, we read in the first couple of verses, we see that Paul is marching towards Damascus as a zealous in a merciless pursuit of Christians, because he wanted to wipe away the Christian community. He believed that they were enemies of his God. And so he wanted to just root out their false teaching or this movement. And in verses 1 to 2, 3, you begin to see that he was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. So he goes even to the high priest and he asks for documents or even letters that he would permit him to bring these people to justice. When John Calvin compares this, you know, John Calvin calls Paul as a mad wolf searching violently for a prey. And that was, you know, Paul. He was going after the Christians. But thanks be to God. God in His mercy met this man. And the passage that we just read today, a light from heaven forced him, my friend, to fall on his knees. And this man of God had a profound experience. That encounter brought total transformation from being a persecutor to be a proclaimer and to be a bold proclaimer of the Lord Jesus Christ. A person who wanted to destroy the Christian community was there not only to develop but to build the people that they will love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many of us, you know, have different or unique encounters with Jesus. Maybe not the way this apostle had. We might have not seen a light flash from heaven, or we might not even heard a voice. But we have different experiences. You know, when I look at this particular passage, it's very interesting. We see how God met him. And at the same time, when I look at the passage, you know, I see the effects, how it has affected him. I think that is the key here. That is the important thing here. It's not the record of events, but how this encounter affects him, and also how it affects us when we encounter the Lord Jesus Christ. When he encountered Jesus Christ, if you realize, I think there was a change in his perception. The way he interpreted or even looked at himself. There was a change of perception, a renewed perception about himself, a renewed perception about the Lord Jesus Christ. And thirdly, you realize there was a renewed perception about the church or even the fellow believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Firstly, we see that there was a renewed perception about himself. When Jesus appeared before him as a light from heaven, forcing Paul to his knees, he hears the voice of Jesus. And what happens? In the passage, we realize, you know, he was blind for 3 days. And what was he doing for these 3 days? The passage also tells us that he did not eat or drink anything for 3 days. This man was just after the Christians. He didn't want to waste any time, but now he is fasting for 3 days. And what was he doing in these 3 days? In verse 11, we read that he is praying. The Lord told Ananias, go to the house of Judas, and you will see a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. The Lord has seen the prayer of this man. You know, when I was looking at this particular thing that was happening in the life of Paul, I was asking myself, you know, he was spending 3 days. What was he doing in these 3 days? What was he praying about? I believe there have been so many things that he would have been praying about. At the same note, I believe that he was also silent before God. He wants to listen to God because the Lord heard his voice. One of the first things that I see the importance of being silent in the presence of God, my friend. I remember reading a story that took place in the life of Mother Teresa from Calcutta. And she was interviewed by a CBS anchor. And she was asked this, you know, what she said during her prayers. And the person said, what do you say during your prayers? She answered by saying, I listen. The interviewer, you know, asked her, well then, what does God say? She smiled with confidence and she replied, he listens. You know, for an instant, the interviewer didn't know what to say. And then she replied by saying, you know, if you don't understand that, I can't explain to you. I believe that when the Apostle Paul was, in the presence of God, he was just listening. He was listening. He was evaluating his life. He was reflecting about his life. You know, one indication of our conversion to God is prayer. Real prayer. Real prayer where we sit just to listen to what the Lord has to tell us, to speak to us, my friend. Maybe some of us would say, you know, being a Jew, Paul would have been a religious man. He'd have said his prayers. Yes, he would have kept his moral law. But if you realize, he was a proud man. But he's praying here, and the passage tells us that God heard his prayer. That the Lord heard his prayer. And it also speaks to us that the importance of coming to God with all our needs. He would have prayed for healing. He would have prayed for God's guidance in his life. He would have prayed for God's plans for his life. He would have asked for forgiveness. And God heard him. You know, we realize from this particular passage that this man of God was in desperate need of God in his life. He was a learned guy. He was a religious guy in the eyes of the society. He was an influential person, but he realized that he needs to be in the presence of God because he needs God. That's the way he saw himself, that he needed God at every moment of his life. He needed God's direction for his future. He wanted to know God's plan for his life. I was reading a quote from a person called Margaret Gribb. And she speaks about prayer. And she says, "No, we must move," she said. "We must move from asking God to take care of the things that are breaking our hearts to praying about the things that are breaking his heart." What a profound statement. Prayer symbolizes our need for God, my friend. When we come to God, the often we come to God, it symbolizes not only you want to have that fellowship, but you know that without him, that you can do nothing in this world. How's our prayer life today? Do we pray when we need, or do we pray realizing that we need him at all times of our life? In times of joy, in times of struggle, in times of pain, in times of loneliness, in every situation, we need God. We need God in our life. Secondly, when I look at this particular passage, I see when a person encounters the Lord Jesus Christ, not only he sees a need for God in his life, that he or she is limited. Secondly, we see there's a renewed perception about the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? What brought him? I believe the words of Jesus would have actually challenged him. In Acts chapter 9, verse 4, when he fell to the ground, it says, right, the Lord hears a voice which says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul replies by saying, "Who are you, Lord?" And the answer came, "I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting." I believe, you know, when he hears that voice, he would have thought for a moment that he was persecuting the Lord Jesus Christ. His believers belong to him. He would have realized how Jesus loved his believers, his followers. The love of God transformed him, my friend. He had a renewed perception about the Lord Jesus Christ. Earlier, because of his religious background, Paul did not believe in a rejected or a suffering Messiah. He believed a Messiah will be victorious, will be powerful, a Messiah who will overthrow the Roman rule. But Jesus was rejected and he suffered. Paul believed in righteousness by law, but Jesus taught the importance of faith. And so throughout his writings, you tend to see that he has a different view about the Lord Jesus Christ altogether. He was able to see Jesus as the Lord and Savior. There was a renewed perception about Jesus in the Lordship of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6, he says, "Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things, and we exist for him. And one Lord," he says, "Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through him." He saw the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And not only that, he saw God's love in action. God's love in action. When he writes to this young minister, 1 Timothy chapter 1, now you read 13 onwards, you see, he says, "The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly." He sees the love of Jesus there for him. In Galatians, to the believers, he writes in chapter 2, verse 20, he says, "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." A man was just after the Christian community, his love for God was much more stronger, greater, because of his encounter. And not only that, if you continue to read, the love of God that was in him, Paul says, compelled him that he wanted to share this God to others. He writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, he says, "For Christ's love compels us." He says, it compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him, that we should live for him. And Paul, at every moment, was living for the Lord Jesus Christ. His main goal was to bring the knowledge of Christ to many, my friend. Not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. He trained many so that they too will go and preach the gospel. He was kept in the prison. He was beaten. There was plots against him, but he never lost his courage because of his renewed perception about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the Lord Jesus' love for him. And he wanted to be God's chosen vessel. Church history also tells us, we hear from Saint Ignatius, who says that, you know, this great man, the Apostle Paul, became a martyr for the church. Why? Because he was proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ. What a powerful encounter. What a powerful desire to know the Lord Jesus Christ. What a powerful desire to share the good news of the gospel, because he was not able to contain that. He wants to share. He wanted others to know. He wanted others to experience. He wanted others to embrace this Lord Jesus Christ. And this great man says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In other words, I want to live for this Jesus. And dying for him is a gain. How's our perception about the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend? Because the more we know him, the more we want to share about Him. We want to show others the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me conclude by looking at the third thing. You know, there was a renewed perception of the church. In other words, there was a renewed perception that how he saw fellow believers. And when I was looking at the particular passage, you know, I believe Paul would have reflected on all these things, the words, because he was spending 3 days fasting and praying, reflecting in the presence of God. First and foremost, we realize in verse 4, you know, the Lord is confronting Paul with a question, why are you persecuting me? Right? And I believe Paul would have thought for a moment that persecuting the followers of Jesus is persecuting the Lord himself. The pain and suffering he was inflicting on the believers or on the body of Christ is a pain that was felt by the Lord himself. And secondly, when you look at it, God could have actually easily restored Paul's sight without outside intervention, just by a word. But the Lord wanted Ananias to meet this man, to lay hands on him and to pray for him. You know, for a moment I was just thinking, when Paul met Ananias, he would have thought for a moment, you know, I was just coming after you because I wanted to, you know, bring you to Jerusalem so that you will be handed over to the religious authorities. You will be punished for your belief. But this Ananias is praying with him, praying for him. He's there calling him brother and asking God's presence to be felt in this man's life. What a powerful testimony. I believe when he saw that, he would have seen the love of God in the lives of the people. And all these things did not stop him from getting baptized. In verse 18, we read that he got up and was baptized. What does baptism mean? Baptism means that I identify with the suffering and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, I affirm, I believe. In the same note, baptism also says that I'm incorporated into the body of Christ. In other words, I'm part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to identify with my fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. I want to have a relationship with my fellow brothers and sisters. I want to have a relationship with the body of Christ, which is the church. In many of his letters, you tend to see that he calls them, right, saints, brothers. And he remembers them in prayer. There are moments that he went through a difficult time with churches. He experienced disappointment, betrayal. But you tend to see that he even called them beloved. You know why? Because of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was able to see his brothers as the part of the body of Christ. How do we see our fellow brothers and sisters today, my friend? How do we see our church today? Do we have a renewed perception of our church or fellow believers? I was reading about this man who wrote this beautiful song. And many of us are familiar with this song, which goes like this. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity will one day be restored. And so when Peter Scholz, you know, a Catholic priest, was asked to pick up a songs for a series of ecumenical and interracial events. You know, he was trying to find a song, but unfortunately he was not able to. So he sat down and he wrote this song with this beautiful lyric. You know, when I was just going through the lyric, It's so wonderful if each and every one of the believers would walk the way he rode. It would be a wonderful, the church will make an impact in the community. We will be able to build up the body of Christ, my friend. Let me read a couple of, two stanzas of his lyrics. He says, we will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. And together we will spread the news that God is in our land. And the chorus goes like this, and they'll know that we are Christians by our love. Yes, they will know we are Christians by our love. Another stanza goes like this, beautiful. It says, we will work with each other and we will work side by side. We will work with each other, we will work side by side, and we will guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. And they will know we are Christians by our love. By our love. Yes, they will know we are Christians by our love. What a powerful song. When a person has an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, there is an impact. There's a way, there's a renewed perception of the way we look at ourselves. I want to pray, my friend, I want to pray that God will continue to work in our lives. We are living in a time where we can be a great testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is possible, and God wants to do that through our lives, my friend. Because when we encounter Jesus, we want to make an impact, a lasting impact in the world around us. Let's give ourselves to God and say, Lord, use me, Lord, use me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to love you. Help me to know about myself. Help me, Lord, to know my fellow believers. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can gather together, Lord, to just worship you, to praise you. Father, we want to have that kind of encounter with you, Lord Jesus. We want to be a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be a faithful disciple of yours, Father. And we pray, God, that each and every day, that we will have an experience, an encounter with you. We love you and we bless you, God. In Jesus' most wonderful name we pray. Amen.